Going to encourage you again to open your Bible to John chapter 10. I say again because we were there last week as we were involved in our study of the I Am statements of Jesus. These are statements that John records in his gospel, but also in the Revelation letter. And Jesus is saying some things about himself in these different statements. What it is that he can do for us, what it is he wants to be for us in a spiritual way. And when we started all this, remember, we gave emphasis to the tense of this statement. Jesus isn't saying, I was, or I want to be someday in the future. I am. So even today, as we look unto Jesus, he will fulfill these different roles and these different things for us if we will follow him. Just a review, because last week we looked at Jesus as the door of the sheep, and we noted that came from John 10, and we're in John 10 again, where two of these statements are found just within a verse or two of each other. So let's take just a moment and refresh our memory of where we were last week, because that's where we'll continue to be. Everything in John, from chapter 7, verse 37, to chapter 10 and verse 21, all happened on the same day. It was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus is teaching in the temple. And Jesus made the declaration in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. And then later in that chapter, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, thus identifying himself as deity. And the Jews picked up stones to stone him right there in the temple. So he leaves, he escapes. And as he's leaving, we get into chapter 9, he encounters a man who was born blind and heals that man. It was the Sabbath day. Jesus goes on. The man who's healed is causing a lot of excitement. He's brought to the Pharisees. The Pharisees question him and end up excommunicating him, casting him out of the synagogue, casting him out of the commonwealth of Israel. Jesus knows about this, and Jesus comes and finds him. Ask him, do you believe in the Son of God? Well, who is he? You're looking at him. Some of the Pharisees who had cast this man out were standing right there listening to all of that, and they questioned Jesus as well. And that leads us into chapter 10. Jesus gives this short illustration of a shepherd going to retrieve his sheep from a community sheepfold. Chapter 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now that ties into what has just happened in chapter 9. There's a reason, you Pharisees, there's a reason this man wasn't going along with you. That's because you're not his shepherd. He's not your sheep. He's my sheep. But they didn't understand. Verse 6 makes it clear. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke. So he spoke again. And this time he inserts himself, the man who has been healed, and the Pharisees into the illustration. It's from verses 7 through 11, or 7 through 10 rather, that Jesus made the statement, I am the door of the sheep, or I am the door. And last week we saw that that meant, number one, that Jesus is the point of access to all the blessings that are found in the sheepfold. Salvation, green pastures, and abundant life. We covered all that. And it's also protection. That sheepfold provided protection, and Jesus is the means of gaining that spiritual protection from those who would seek to harm us. Then Jesus goes on and identifies himself as the good shepherd. That's where we are today. So I want to pick up reading in verse 11. Let's read verses 11 through 18, and then let's make some points like we did last week. What does it mean that he's the door of the sheep? Let's see, what does it mean in this text here that Jesus is the good shepherd, our good shepherd? Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So there's our reading, there's our text. Let's see what it is that Jesus is offering us today as our good shepherd. Number one, we would make this observation that Jesus owns the sheep. We saw that in verse 12, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. Okay, if the hireling doesn't own the sheep, who does? Well, that's the shepherd. The good shepherd, he is the one who owns the sheep. In claiming the position as the good shepherd, Jesus is laying claim to that which is legitimately his. The sheep belong to him. If we go down to verse 29 in this chapter, now we're just going down a few verses, but actually we're fast-forwarding about 3 months. Because at verse 22, we're at the Feast of Dedication. That happens in December. But here, he's talking again about the shepherd and the sheep, so no doubt the Holy Spirit connects it with what we are studying in the first part of this chapter. Look at verse 29. John 10, verse 29, my Father who has given them to me. So Jesus is the owner of the sheep by virtue of the fact that the Father gave the sheep to him. But Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when the Apostle Paul is making an address to the elders of the church at Ephesus, he tells them to shepherd the flock of God, and of which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the sheep belong to Jesus. You can look at least two different ways. Number one, because the Father gave them to him. And number two, he bought them. He purchased them with his own blood. I'll make this point very quickly. You and I don't own the church. It's not our church. And I know sometimes we'll say that. We'll talk about Knollwood. Well, that's my church. And we understand what we mean by that. That's where I'm a member. That's my church family. We understand that. And we understand what other people mean when they say it as well. But technically, it's not our church. It's the Lord's church. We are God's flock, Psalm 100 and verse 3. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ, of which He is the head. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He owns the sheep. When you and I become Christians, we place ourselves before Him as His property, blood-bought property. Secondly, the text tells us that Jesus cares for the sheep. Unlike the hireling, who does not care because he doesn't own the sheep, he has nothing at stake with the flock, he's working for wages, he has no reason to risk his life for their care, and thinking only of himself, when danger shows up, he flees and he leaves the sheep unprotected. Remember, Jesus is speaking in front of Pharisees who had just excommunicated this one sheep. They are the hirelings. They don't care about the sheep. And so this is a stinging rebuke. that Jesus is delivering to the Pharisees. But let's look at this point. Let's focus on this point here. Because Jesus owns the sheep, because He purchased them with the sacrifice of His own blood, no one can have greater care and concern for the sheep. Now, God had often condemned the leaders of His people as being worthless shepherds. In Jeremiah 23, we'll come back to John 10, but turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. And while we're turning there to Jeremiah chapter 23, I'll let you know that this same rebuke is also found in Ezekiel chapter 34 and Zechariah chapter 11. In all of these passages, God is condemning the leaders of His people as being worthless shepherds. But I wanted to read the one in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23, and let's look at verses 1 through 4. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of My pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed My people, you have scattered My flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord." What have these Pharisees just done to this one of God's sheep? They've driven him off. They've cast him out. They are one of these worthless shepherds. Look at verse 3. "But I will gather the remnant of My flock out of all countries where I've driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord." There's going to come a time when God's going to put proper shepherds over His people. Guess what? Jesus is that good shepherd. The verses that follow are messianic prophecies, talking about the branch, talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus. So as Jesus is identifying Himself as the good shepherd, there are teachings back in the Old Testament that speak of this. This would have the ring of Old Testament condemnation and rebuke to it, when He says, "I am the good shepherd." Well, the leaders in the Old Testament days, the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah, they were bad shepherds, but the leaders of Jesus' day weren't any better. They were bad shepherds as well. Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for His sheep. In what way does a good shepherd care for His sheep? Well, to answer that question, we turn to a familiar text that we just sang before our study here. And by the way, I didn't ask this of Jonathan. He knew this fit in very well. Psalm 23 is a favorite psalm of many, many people, many brethren as well. And it's from this psalm that we learn some things about good shepherding. And what a good shepherd is. A good shepherd provides green pastures and still waters. Psalm 23 and at verse 2. The sheep need the pasture land. They need that food. But still waters, or quiet waters, as it was worded in the hymn that we just sang. It's my understanding that sheep will not drink from running water. It has to be still. And so one of the things that a shepherd will do is, if there isn't still water, we'll go to a stream and we'll dig out a pool so that that water will collect and the sheep will come and drink from that water. That's care. That's concern. That's going an extra length to provide the things that are needed for the sheep. He leads the sheep in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Verse 3 of that psalm tells us, what does Jesus do? Jesus leads us. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus looks upon the multitudes and He has compassion for them because they are as sheep with no shepherd. They need someone to lead them. As God's people, we need someone to lead us. And Jesus is that good shepherd who leads us in the path that is right. Not in the path that we want to go, Not in the path that we all vote on and say, yeah, that's where. No, the path that is right, He leads us if we will follow Him. And He protects the sheep. We have the yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, from verse 4 in that psalm. And oftentimes when we look at that, we think about our passage through death. That even there during that final time, our shepherd is with us. Actually, the valley of the shadow of death was any dangerous passage along the route. It was a valley. It was dark. It's something you couldn't see what was around there. But when the shepherd went ahead, you had no problem following him because you knew you were okay. You and I, following Jesus faithfully, we're going to encounter those dark valleys numerous times in our lives. But we have our shepherd going before us. His rod and his staff give us that comfort of that protection. And then the next verse, verse 5 in the psalm, talks about providing a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What does that mean? That means the danger is there, the enemies are there, but the shepherd is making sure I can eat and everything's going to be okay. The devil doesn't go away. He's not being cast out of this world. He's there. And he's like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. But if you and I will stay with the shepherd. And that's a part of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. Being sober and being vigilant means, okay, where's my shepherd? I need to stay right there with my shepherd. I'm going to walk with my shepherd because my shepherd will protect me. Do you remember what David said when he told Saul, I'll fight that giant. You can't fight him. He is a warrior and you're just a shepherd boy. You remember what David said? I have fought bear and I have fought lion. As a shepherd, he fought those things that were threatening his sheep to protect his sheep. If you and I, and this happens sometimes, it just does. If you and I come to that point in our lives where we begin to wonder and we begin to doubt, does Jesus really care? All we have to do is look at His nail-scarred hands. And that answers our question. And that removes all doubt. Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for the sheep. Here's something else. Jesus is going to go on in verses 11 and 15 talking about laying down His life for the sheep. And of course, they've just tried to kill Him in chapter 8. No, it's not time yet. When it is time, I'll be laying down my life on my own. But I'll lay down my life for the sheep. So again, does Jesus care? We know that He cares. Here's something else. The text tells us that Jesus knows the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by them. To the hireling, to the person who's been hired to watch the sheep, it's just a flock of sheep. But to the shepherd knows every one of those animals because the shepherd has been out there with those animals, knows them intimately, you could say. Look up at verse 3. In that first illustration Jesus gave that they didn't understand, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Think about this for just a moment. Jesus knows your name. Just let that sink in. Jesus knows who you are. He knows your name. The shepherd is spending time with the sheep. The shepherd likely was there when they were born. And the shepherd was there to care for them when they were sick or when they were injured. The shepherd knows their personality. The shepherd knows their tendencies. He knows which sheep are prone to wander away. All right, I've got to make sure they stay here. He knows which ones are going to get startled easily. All right, here comes some danger. I'm making sure these are okay. He knows the things that trouble you and upset you and discourage you and tempt you and challenge you. Your shepherd knows you. He knows you better than you think He does. And what a great blessing that is. But look at the other side of this. We know the shepherd. We know Him. If we have devoted ourselves to following Christ by abiding in His Word, John chapter 8, if you abide in My Word, you're My disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if we have devoted ourselves to following Jesus, we know His voice. That doesn't mean we know what His voice sounded like. What that means is we know His words. We know His teachings. We spend time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We pay attention to the words in red. All right, that's the sound of My shepherd. That's the sound of My master. But then we go on and read the epistles, and we're reading the doctrine of Christ that was given to His apostles. And we know the voice of our master so much so that when we are watching television, scrolling online, listening and having a conversation with somebody, and we hear them say something, we know that's not the voice of My shepherd. That's not the truth. That's not where My shepherd is leading me. You see, if we are following the shepherd, we know His voice. We're not going to be led astray. He knows us, and we know Him. And what a great blessing that is for us as we're serving Him today. And finally, Jesus unites the sheep. In verse 16, He says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear My voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus speaks of other sheep that He has to bring in and make a part of one flock and one shepherd. A number of years ago, I remember watching television ads by the Mormon Church, and they posted this verse on the television screen and said, "See, that's us right there. We're the sheep of the other flock, and we're supposed to be brought in, and so you need to accept." No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. It's as clear as day. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the Gentiles, and we see that they are brought in Acts chapter 10. We're going to be in Acts chapter 10 in our 11 o'clock hour. Very important thing that happens there, but that's something that's talked about all through the rest of the New Testament, the inclusion of the Gentiles. Well, here, Jesus talks about that. How are you going to bring saved individuals from these two different groups that have been kept separate from each other for centuries? It's going to take the shepherd laying down His life to do that. When Jesus shed His blood, He removed all those barriers that separate Jew from Gentile, separate believers from each other, and they can be brought together into one fold. And so today we do not join others in celebrating all the division that we have. No, we understand there's one body. Our Lord prayed that we would be one. He died so that we would be one. So we follow the Good Shepherd, and we want to be a part of that one fold with that one shepherd. While the door grants access and protection. Jesus says, "I'm the door of the sheep." What's He saying there? Access and protection. The shepherd illustration stresses spiritual ownership, nearness, concern, and leadership. You know, of all of these I am statements, I think perhaps this one is the one that is the most comforting to us. Not because we know all about herding sheep. We actually had a couple of sheep when I was growing up. And when the Bible compares us to sheep, those animals are not very smart. But I think the Lord knew what He was doing when He says, "You're sheep. You're the sheep of My pasture." And there are a lot of good lessons that we can draw there. But this is so comforting to us, I think in part because, not because we have personal experience, but because we love Psalm 23. We love that psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd," and all those blessings that we have there. But as you look in the Old Testament, as we've seen in Jeremiah, Jesus is saying, I'm going to raise up good shepherds. And then Jesus shows up and says, "That's Me. I'm the good shepherd." And everything that we love and long for in Psalm 23, Jesus provides for us today. What a blessing it is that Jesus is our good shepherd. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you provide everything that we need in Christ. We're thankful that he is the doorway to the sheepfold where we find all blessings and protection. And we're thankful that he is our shepherd. What a humbling and comforting truth it is to know that he knows us each by name, and he knows who we are, and he's there to care for us and to lead us and guide us individually in our lives and collectively as a church. Bless us as we draw closer to you by learning more about your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.